Welcome to F1 Debrief. Puffle, piffle, poffle, puffin, F1. Coming up on today's show, we discuss team members departing, really dodgy names, Hamilton opening up, an evening with Joe, and those dangerous new teams.
This time next week, the first race of the season will be over.
Yes, indeed.
F1 caught up with us.
It did.
It's all go.
The season is beginning.
Are we ready?
Yes.
No chance. Have we got a good packed show coming up?
We've got loads to talk about. There's been lots of news. We've got lots of lovely feedback. And we may be going to do roll calls.
As promised.
Yes. For people that don't like fantasy races, we know. And we're not going to be talking about it much at all this year. But for this episode, we are going to do roll calls. And there are so many teams in the Fantasy Races League this year that we're going to split it up and do maybe three different roll calls throughout the show.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for the Korean GP, as the organisers suggest that everything is on schedule. There were rumours circulating, apparently, that they might have to delay the GP by a year. I did not hear these rumours.
Me neither.
But they say the track is 70% complete and the grandstand's about 80%. They're looking for it to be finished in June.
Which is cutting it fine.
It's been a bad week for Force India, as they've only gone and embarrassed themselves. They confirmed that Ian Phillips would be leaving the team, which is kind of sad as he's been there 19 years since they were Jordan. We reckon it's all to do with the Fisichella to Ferrari slip-up last year, plus the fact that Phillips is the go-to guy for paddock gossip. The team posted a rather unfortunate tweet with a bit.ly link that used a bad combination of characters. They had to apologise afterwards.
Suspicious goings-on. The team claim it was an auto-generated link. I asked Bitly for clarification for this because
that could even happen.
I don't know if the system will allow it to happen. At the moment, we have to take their word on it that it genuinely was a mistake.
What are the chances?
And that those four letters happen to come up in that order when discussing a departing team member. I think the chances, somebody worked out the chances were about 2 million to 1 for that to happen, but Force India claim it was a complete accident and beyond their control, and we have to believe them.
It's been a good week for Renault, as they found a little sponsorship in the form of Lada. The Russian car makers will have their branding on the side of the yellow car, just underneath the red wing mirrors. The team are also sponsoring driver Petrov, as he is, of course, Russian.
A yellow Lada on the grid.
Yep.
And Ferrari are complaining about which slow team?
It's been a bad week for Willy Ranf, who is leaving Sauber in April to be replaced by former Force India chief James Key. Key will take up the role of technical director at Sauber. Ranf has been with the team for a long time, but they say his leaving was long in the planning.
Will there be anybody left at Force India come the end of the season?
That's a good point.
News and views.
Alexa Vroom.
F1.
Team Ireland.
Magnus Victor.
Ringo's not dead.
That's not gone too well.
I suck at this game.
Burning Rubber Racing 2010.
Oliver GP.
Merck Go Go Go.
Celtic Racing.
Fantasy 1.
Comprehensive Meltdown.
California F1.
Grimshaw Go Racers.
Campanelli.
The Slow Dads.
7-Up Jordan Mercedes Bridgestone.
The Boulevard Dogs.
Rubber Goat Racing.
Scuderia Philippine.
LCM Dragons.
LCM Alpha.
Back to Back Rock.
Adrian's Wall.
SLV Podcast Racing.
VitaSeries.net.
Brawnsomeness.
Hop Souls.
Chief Operating Panda.
Scuderia Dank Rosso.
Team Oxford.
Boo Racing.
F1 Qualifying.
Craig Blog Races.
Let the Shanks Be Free.
Team TooMuchRacing.com.
CPM Grand Prix.
Oz Jeremy.
Woodwiss F1.
Team 11.
MacDaddy GP.
Right Rear Nut.
Back Rev Limited.
Scuderia Canelio Suppressor.
Another One Bites the Dust.
Humphreys GPE Racing.
USS Zide Coldsmobile.
Scots on Speed.
Disc Racing.
Shortcut and the Meddlers.
Welcome Back Canada.
Rolling Chicanery Racing.
Toro Webster.
F1 Stars and Stripes.
Acme Incorporated.
Terry Racing.
Noodles Bullets Racing.
Arona F1.
Adrenaline Junkies.
Gatsby Racing.
Bertzo's Bangers.
Raging Nefurdlers.
Amazini Barazistan Cello.
Castro Fallings.
Raven Island Racing.
More Slow Dads.
CDN Slow Dads.
Racing for Last 2010.
Team Waving at Lewis.
Starlight Racing.
Fiox Fira.
My car feels heavy.
There was, of course, big news this week, but I think we have to start by talking about that last test in Barcelona.
What we missed.
Haven't discussed it yet.
We didn't do a show last week.
No.
What happened?
The test itself wasn't supremely exciting.
It was wet.
Yeah.
Again.
Surprise, surprise. But I think there are some stats to be drawn from what happened. The five fastest drivers of the Barcelona test overall: Hamilton, Webber, Massa, Sutil and Hülkenberg.
And we know that the Barcelona circuit is a good indication of performance. It's an aero circuit. It's a circuit that the Grand Prix drivers will race on. So we can take a certain amount of confidence from the test that those guys will be up there somewhere.
Yeah, so three teams you'd expect, and then also Force India and Williams.
Williams are looking great, actually. Right now, Williams are looking good with that new Cosworth engine, and Force India, a nice transition from last year. They've made the step up. They are using the McLaren information to their best, and they're getting something out of that car. So look forward to Williams and Force India fighting their way to the top this season, possibly.
Ferrari also up there. I had an email this week from Jim Newman who said, Christine, with all the testing that happened these past couple of weeks, how is it that Ferrari were able to remain inconspicuous about all the changes they made to their car? It seems like they've been the only team flip-flopping between using the shark fin or not, and they've been migrating their side pods all over the nose. I find it amazing how one of the premier teams in F1 have not had much press about this.
I don't think it's that much of a cutting-edge car. We've talked about the wheel rims in the previous show, but it looks a bit like last year's Red Bull, and they don't seem to have innovated on that greater scale, or at least the way the other teams have. They've got a good car. They've got a very reliable car. They're not pushing that many boundaries visibly.
So if it was Red Bull flip-flopping, we might be more,
yeah,
more in tune with it.
Red Bull look like they're doing something worth looking at, as have McLaren been. But in the case of Ferrari, they revealed their car first, so it was the first chassis we saw. They haven't changed that much, and they apparently have shown us the car that will be racing in Bahrain. So I would assume they must have an aggressive development program coming for the rest of the year, because nothing has really grabbed my eye about it. It's definitely a reliable car, and it's a quick car, but it's not a cutting-edge car, so far as I can tell.
Talking about Red Bull, they brought some stickers.
Oh.
You love stickers.
I you like, hate stickers.
You like stickers about as much as I like red wing mirrors.
I'm stunned. What they've done is try to flummox other teams and photographers and fans by applying stickers where you'd expect their exhaust outlets to be. However, what they've really done is moved the real exhausts lower so that gases exit underneath the rear suspension, and it was only included on the very last day of the very last test. So clearly this is something they wanted to keep very well hidden. However, it didn't quite go according to plan, and people spotted the stickers as what they were, basically stickers.
Well, the thing about Red Bull is not only were they busy creating new designs and sticking stickers on things, but they were also complaining about other teams.
Yay!
The 2010 season already has echoes of 2009.
Every season. Let's be honest, every season, the start of the year, you get complaints, you get clarifications about rules and regulations, and teams who have been pushing the boundaries the most come under some scrutiny. And this time, it's McLaren.
Yeah, Red Bull and apparently Ferrari as well have asked the FIA for clarification on the rear wing of the McLaren. Charlie Whiting was due to check the part out at the McLaren factory, but he never actually got there.
Yet. Presumably he will do eventually.
He
never got there. Well, he was...
Exactly that.
Yes, exactly. he was supposed to turn up at the weekend and got delayed by a flight or something.
Alan Baldwin on Twitter said, I gather that Charlie Whiting couldn't make it to McLaren today to see the rear wing that nobody seems to think is illegal. Hold the back page.
That sums it up nicely. Christian Horner was the first to mention it. Ferrari have denied subsequently that they have anything to worry about. McLaren are very confident that the rear wing is legal, and they say they've been in touch with the FIA consistently throughout the off-season in order to ensure that it meets all the rules and regulations. So it's a lot of fuss at the moment over very little.
We don't think it's going to cause a problem, and even if it did, it wouldn't be anything like the diffuser thing last year.
At the moment, there's only one team. I can see what they're doing. To a degree, it's quite technical. They're trying to stall the rear wing by use of the anvil wing that goes through the section of the car. There was talk that maybe some...
The shark fin.
It looks like an anvil sometimes. Maybe not that one. Maybe the Ferrari looks more like an anvil. Call it what you will. There was also talk that air from the airbox was being filtered through the anvil stroke shark wing onto the rear wing in order to stall it. And then there was a further conspiracy theory that the front snorkel, not somewhere near the driver's knees, could be used to open and close an air inlet on a long straight in order to stall the wing and give the car more straight line speed. It's very complicated. Something else that I imagine most fans will struggle to understand and care about.
I bet your friend Craig is all over this.
Craig is absolutely, totally all over the McLaren and the Red Bull and everything that's going on. And scarbsf1.wordpress.com is the place to go now. It's the go-to site for all your technical information about what's going on in Formula One at the moment, if you care. I do think that you, I do pity the BBC who are going to have to explain all this to maybe less
people that don't
interested
care.
Viewers. Yeah, people who don't care and only want to see racing. It's complicated. It's I like innovation. I like to see that McLaren are pushing the rules, and they've got a car with which they can push the rules, obviously, because last year was all about catching up and making the most of a bad package. This year, they've got a good starting point, a good baseline, and they're building on that. And my goodness, aren't they building on it?
Back to testing, though. Viva F1 have some awesome graphs and stats that even I can understand.
Okay.
They have a pie chart of who did the most testing. And Ferrari, Williams, and Mercedes, McLaren, and Toro Rosso a joint third. So those five teams have all done the most testing.
And Ferrari were top.
Yes, Ferrari
lots
were top.
And lots and lots of mileage for that team.
There's also a bar chart of distances completed by drivers. As you would expect, Lotus and Virgin have ridiculously small amounts. Most of the teams have their two drivers quite equal, but for Renault, Kubica did way more than Petrov, almost double.
Yeah, every time it was a dry day, they stuck Kubica in the car, and when it rained, they stuck Petrov in it.
Which is a bit unfair.
That's you can see exactly how they rate each the feedback from each driver, and that's represented in these graphs.
Force India didn't do very much, only marginally more than Lotus.
They missed the first test, didn't they?
Well, yeah. James Allen pointed out that teams who skipped the first test of the year are really suffering because it was the only dry test of the year.
It was. You're right. It rained... In all three subsequent tests, it was they were rain affected, whereas the first one was completely clear, and most teams got the most running in there. So Red Bull also skipped the first test, so they must have been affected by that too.
And now they've missed their chance because that's all the testing that we're going to get this year.
Done, dusted.
Yeah, except for maybe the occasional straight line test, and if there are any drivers that need substituting.
Oh yes, yeah. If somebody needs to jump in midway through the season, then we may see some more action, but it will be in the minority. That was testing. Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy following what testing we were given this year?
I enjoyed it more than other years because I think we were more involved.
More clued up as well.
But the testing itself was a bit wet.
I do hope that this yeah, it was indeed.
But then again, last year was wet and in Bahrain it was dusty. So what are you going to do?
Testing is always marred, I guess. Well, what you're going to do is bring back testing mid-season and let teams
in the summer.
Yeah. Let teams test in the summer when it's not wet and it's not windy. That would solve the problem outright. However, that isn't going to happen right now. What I will say is I do hope that the standards set via the F1 media during testing will continue now into the season because we want tweeting from every race. We want tweeting from every session.
I need to be able to use my Claire jingle more often.
Oh, yes. We expect more of that this year. We want more Twic picks from the paddock at every session this year. The genie is out of the bottle. We want it all the time now.
The big news of the week, though, was that USF1 have called it a day.
We haven't talked that much about USF1.
Well, the rumours have been surrounding them for forever because there was no car. There didn't appear to be any resources to make a car. We saw some interviews with employees who weren't making a car.
Yes.
So we were all a bit sceptical, and I think everyone wanted it to happen, but it hasn't, for now, at least.
Ever? You cannot see Ken Anderson coming back from this.
Well,
surely.
It became clear when the employees in the factory were told they were being let go. Apparently neither Ken Anderson nor Peter Windsor were present when this happened, which hasn't exactly reflected well on them.
Shameful.
Even though we all knew it was over, it wasn't until later that Anderson came out and said they were asking the FIA if they could delay their entry until 2011. So with nothing for the employees to do until then, he admitted they'd sent them all home unpaid.
And friendly. Nice, really nice.
So yes. Yeah, he hopes they can delay it until 2011. But what makes him think they can do it then when they couldn't do it now? It's not like they didn't have enough warning.
That's absolutely. You can make all the excuses under the sun. The fact is they didn't deliver. And you can apportion blame to as many people as you'd like to. And maybe we should. Who do you personally hold responsible for this? Is it 50-50 Ken and Peter? Or is it more one than the other?
See, I don't know. I hadn't really been following it that closely because I was more interested if they made it, then I'd pay them some attention.
Which is kind of why we haven't talked about them much, because the only things to be said about the team until now have been negative.
Yeah, I haven't really been studying their failures quite so intensely, so I don't really know. I mean, you have to put the blame on Anderson and Windsor because their names are on
They carry the
top,
can.
So.
Yes. I think, to me, it seems like a 50-50 split. They both agreed to bring this team to the grid, and they both, between them, failed to do that. There was no car. We have seen nothing of any note coming from the team. There was a minor amount of amusement, was it last week or the week before, when one of the team members admitted that they were really genuinely laying up USF1 toasters in the factory.
They had nothing else to do.
Nothing to do whatsoever, which is very disappointing. I really, really wanted to see a USF1 team come and join the F1 circus. And I wanted it to work. I wanted to be able to follow it. I was really interested to see what their livery was going to be. And now we will never, ever know what colour that car was destined to be. And that's a bit of a shame. And we'll never see it on the track. And all in all, a disappointment for F1 and embarrassing for F1.
We had an email from Richard, who actually contacted me before USF1 went under, but his point is still relevant. He said, "Christine, as ever, I enjoy your shows. I love Mr. C's opinionated comments, but it doesn't always mean I agree with them."
Doesn't always mean I'm right either.
"In his rant about USF1 at the start of the last show, I think he missed an important point that is best summed up by Brad Spurgeon's blog on the NY Times website. All the teams want F1 to have a race and strong presence in the US market due to the huge financial opportunities that it could bring. If USF1 fails, will it irreversibly harm F1's image in the US, and meaning they couldn't return for a long time? Brad thinks it might, and you have to agree it couldn't be a positive thing for F1's relationship with the US. Before last season, everyone rallied round to help Honda become Braun, who had a chassis but no engine. With the ban on customer cars this year, it's a shame they can't be helped out in some way to get to the grid, as they have a Cosworth engine but no chassis. Keep up the great podcasting, Richard."
And we can put a link to Brad's article in the show notes, because it's a great article and Richard brings up a good point. There, I will actually plug another blog in answer to this question, and that's Stuart posted a fine post in his analysis of what happened to USF1. And there was a great quote on there, which I will just completely lift, if that's okay. He said, "Here is another tip to get ahead in F1. If you've got a benevolent millionaire entrepreneur on board, share him with Bernie. Even if it's just an introduction, that would do. A little goodwill may have radiated from Prince's Gate as a result." And I think, to me, that really does sum it up. If you've got somebody like Chad Hurley on board who is absolutely loaded, the first thing you want to do is introduce him to the guy who likes money and who makes things happen. And if that wasn't the case, if there never was an introduction, then that would explain why there was nothing coming from Bernie or anybody else in terms of support for USF1. They basically cocooned themselves. They tucked themselves away in the corner of the US, as far away from F1 as you could possibly get right now. They didn't make an awful lot of attempt to reach out for support. They basically took a vow of silence for the best part of 9 months. And you can't really expect anybody to come forward and to want to help them. I mean, Honda were in Formula One. They had a team. They had staff. They had IP and collateral. They were worth saving. You look at USF1, were they really worth saving?
Very harsh words, indeed. We did want to do a quick shout out because someone contacted you on Twitter, didn't they?
Who was that?
It was Ubaid Parker.
Ah, yes.
I hope I said that right. He did an interview with Bob Varsher.
A fine interview.
We were going to plug it in the daily and in the show, etc. But the very same day, USF1 went pear-shaped, so it sort of was a bit out of date.
It was Bob's views on USF1 before it all went belly up. But it is worth a read. Link in the show notes?
Yeah.
Please do. Obviously, when you read it, keep in mind it was the interview happened before everything turned upside down.
So with USF1 gone, the FIA re-released the 2010 entry list with only 12 teams.
Yes.
No Stefan GP.
Which we expected, right? There was no surprise there because, as Joe told us 2 weeks ago, if Stefan GP were given a free pass, then all and sundry would be queuing up for exactly the same treatment.
Yeah, what about all those people that had to go through the submission process last year?
What the FIA are doing here is they're reopening or re-evaluating the entry process for next year, and that may or may not include USF1. Personally, I think it shouldn't, because it should go to somebody more worthy. I think they had their chance and they've blown it, but the FIA are doing all the right things. They're making all the right moves, and they've released a 2010 entry list with just 12 teams, and that's what we've got for this year.
On the last show, I recall you saying, "Don't shed any tears for Lopez. He's got loads of money. He's bound to have a drive."
Did I say that?
I think you did.
Don't listen to me. Poor Lopez.
I
feel really sorry for him.
I thought he was confirmed at Campos, but apparently not.
Is he not the third driver?
I don't know. I thought he was, but I couldn't find it anywhere when I was looking, so who knows? As it turns out, Campos aren't called Campos anymore anyway.
What are they called?
Well, they've changed their name to Hispania Racing F1 Team, otherwise known as HRT F1.
Nice.
That is about as clever as calling your new tablet an iPad. These are bad names. Do people not Google?
People, well, clearly people don't think about these things. I believe that Hispania Racing F1 was the team name put forward to the FIA, and the FIA, for some reason or other, weren't happy with it, and so they abbreviated it to HRT F1, and that's what we've got on the grid, and that's what we're going to have to say for as long as they decide to change it. What it does highlight, though, is how easily Formula One teams can change their names with the agreement of everybody else, and it does raise the question of why BMW are still called BMW Sauber.
Also a good question. I do like that HRT F1, they got into gear very quickly once, they got the new sponsorship and the new owners and all that.
Once they kicked out the old owner.
Yes, basically. They announced Karen Chandhok as another driver alongside Senna. I can't work out which is the first driver in that team.
Good question. It's got to be Senna.
I think so. But his name is second on the entry list, so who knows. And they revealed their new car.
Oh, they did. Actually, do you know what? It was a launch of sorts.
Yes.
And we may not have covered this.
We didn't do a launch post, did we?
We ought to fix that this week.
That's terrible.
it didn't feel like a launch. It kind of came out of the blue. It's like, we're gonna launch our car in 2 days. And there it was.
We didn't think they were going to.
Yeah, well, because we're cynical like that. Yeah. But no, they really did. They have a car. Has a livery.
The livery is a bit grey, but it's very interesting gray. And it's not too white.
It's going to be hard to see on track. In dark conditions, you'll struggle probably to tell it apart from...
Singapore is going to be tricky.
And I think Singapore will be okay. I was thinking more like Malaysia rain.
Oh, yeah.
It might be very hard to sell it on track. And also, if you're coming up behind it very quickly, you may not see it. And you will be if you're in any other car than the HRT, because it isn't going to be quick. It is yet to turn a single wheel in testing. Neither have the drivers.
There was a statement from Bernie today, being Sunday, and he said, Formula One is a very tough business with the best drivers in the world competing in the best cars and on the most challenging race circuits in the world. That is why it is the pinnacle of sport. And while I believe it's going to take Karen until mid-season to show his potential, I wish him all the very best for this season and look forward to seeing the Indian media and public get behind him this year. He didn't say that about anyone else.
Is Bernie bipolar?
I don't know. That's so weird.
2 weeks ago, he said these teams are never going to make it to the grid. And we shouldn't give them the time of day because they're a waste of space. Suddenly, now we all need to get behind one of the drivers.
Is he basically saying, be nice to him because we need India's money?
That could be, that's, you big cynic.
Yeah.
That is exactly what he's saying.
Well, he didn't say that about anyone else.
No, he didn't, that's true. I don't know
didn't
why
he hear him saying that about Petrov?
You raise a good point. Clearly, Karen is flavour of the month. He's Bernie's new best friend. He's got the entire nation behind him. Although, bizarrely, he's not in the only Indian team on the grid. He's in the Spanish team.
On the subject of the new teams being a bit dangerous, Massa has spoken out. He said, there are 6 or 7 teams 1 second apart, while the new teams are 4 seconds behind. It's not good for the sport and not good for them. It's like two different series. They'll suffer and we'll suffer too when we have them in front of us during qualifying.
Harsh.
That is pretty harsh. Although that is the Ferrari line at the moment, isn't it?
It's certainly the... Yeah, it is. You're correct. Do you think this is Massa's words or do you think this is Ferrari's words?
Well, I don't know. But, I mean, he does have a point. It might be dangerous in qualifying.
Well, to be honest with you, if you look, you only have to look back, 6, 7 years, and he was dangerous in qualifying. He was going around 4 seconds off the pace and spinning like crazy in whatever he was driving, the Sauber. On the other hand, he does... I do think he has... a small point in the fact that off-the-pace cars, that are cars that are completely away from the lead pack, could pose a threat during qualifying and during the racing. There was a reason that the 107% rule came into effect, because in an ideal situation, you don't want very fast cars coming across very slow ones on the grid. And it was pointed out on, I think it was BBC Radio 5 Live last week, that David Croft mentioned somebody had told him that if the new teams bolt on all of their new bits for Bahrain, they may make a step forward whilst the backmarkers remain at the back. And you could see a difference between the front of the grid and the back of the grid somewhere in the region of 6, 7, maybe 8, 9, 10 seconds. That's a massive difference.
That is, especially if you consider that the last few years, the teams have been closing up and you can get field spread of like a second.
Mm.
And now you're going to increase that to 10, no one's going to know what to do about it.
No, it could be a big problem. You come across 4 cars that are much slower, they're going to be lapped more often, they're going to get in the way more often, they could potentially be a danger. So on the one hand, Massa may have a point, and being in a leading car, he may be one of the first guys to come across the slower guys, but he could have put it slightly better than they'll suffer.
Yeah. On the subject of slow teams, dangerous teams, I had an email from Braun to Be Wild. you know, she wrote us that Haref testing mm-hmm. post. She said, "Hi, Christine. While I was putting together some stats for an extremely condensed All You Need to Know About F1 This Year story aimed at my friends that haven't got a clue, I noticed some disturbing statistics which prompted me to write an entirely different post. My thinking is that with 3 new teams and 6 new drivers, plus new regulations, cars that drop bits and cars that haven't been tested, plus Schumi, this could be the most dangerous season we've had in years." The rest of my story is here, and she links to the blog, which we'll put in the show notes. But here's my final summation. It's not hard to imagine races where a third of the field are taken off by some of the rookies in the opening laps. Another couple get caught up in Hansel and Gretel-style debris from the Virgin Racing cars. HRT break down or blow up halfway through and take down whoever is lapping them at the time. Then Kobayashi, seeing potential for a podium, takes a leaf out of Schumacher's book and runs off whoever's left in his way. No wonder the FIA messed with the point system. Anyone who can make it across the finish line will deserve a medal.
Don't mention medals.
What do you think, Braun to be wild?
I think you shouldn't ever mention medals, even in jest. That's fair point. I agree with all of the above. It could be carnage. Look forward to the first race. I think will be fine because it's Bahrain. There's plenty of runoff. There's lots of open space for people to go flying off the road and come back on either ahead or behind of the position they just left. Get to Melbourne and it could be a completely different story. It will be carnage. And it will be amazing if 10 cars do manage to see that finish line. What a brilliant, brilliant post from Born to Be Wild.
There was one other news story that I just wanted to touch upon, and that is that Hamilton changed his management, didn't he? Split up from his father.
Is this big news?
Well, no, not really. And we don't usually like to talk about Hamilton because he polarizes opinion something chronic.
But not as much as Michael Schumacher. Well, I think this year we might get away with talking about Lewis Hamilton.
Maybe. So apparently it was all very amicable. Hamilton Senior is busy with his driver academy, and Hamilton Junior has outgrown him and they've parted company and it's all good. But since then, it seems like Lewis has been talky talk.
Well,
he's opened up about everything.
That's good. I like that.
It is good. He spoke out about Alonso. He said, "I think at the time I misinterpreted and misunderstood the goals and the understanding of how the team worked." He was definitely saying that they weren't favouring either one of them still. But I think he was just saying, you know, I was new, maybe I didn't act as I should have.
Fair enough.
He's also admitted that he thought about quitting the sport after the controversy in Australia last year, which isn't a surprise because he was pretty down about it.
But as you would be.
He's talking openly and says he cares about how people perceive him and he thought he might be better off out of F1 altogether. Then he got lots of lovely letters from fans and that made him feel a bit better.
I'll tell you what, I know exactly how that feels.
Really?
I have empathy with Lewis over that one.
I like this new open Lewis, but for someone who has every single little thing he says scrutinised, it's very brave.
It is very brave. And we are doing just that now. Well, but yeah. I like it. One thing I should go back and say is I'm all for Hamilton Senior's plans for this driver academy. It looks good. It's what Formula One needs at the moment with the lack of testing. And I hope it goes well.
I think it got FIA approval or something as well. So it's all moving, full steam ahead.
It's moving forward nicely. I hope it can turn in a profit. I hope that it will benefit those drivers who could do with some additional testing. I hope teams get behind it as well, because it seems like a great step forward to help people who need more experience.
Hamilton's interview was on Radio 5 Live on the BBC, and James Allen wrote a post about it, and he said, Hamilton said, "Lots and lots of mistakes in my career. Hopefully this will be a year of a lot fewer." Now, I can't find him saying that anywhere.
Nope, but I'm not
assuming,
in what I heard.
I'm assuming that James Allen didn't make that up. It's unusual for a driver to admit making a lot of mistakes.
Michael Schumacher never admitted to one.
No.
Here's Lewis. He's admitted to lots and lots and lots of them.
In his career, and it's only been a short career so far.
Well, you could argue that mistakes have been made. You could, I mean, you don't need to argue it. That's true. You can see, by the
it's
way,
clear.
It happened. It happened last year in Australia, and that was without a question a mistake. So good for Lewis. Good for him coming forward and admitting all these. And you have to now look at Michael Schumacher and see if he wants to be quite as open. Because now's a great time for being
never
open.
Never going to happen.
Never going to happen. Wishful thinking, but all respect to Lewis for everything he said this week. He's come across very well. He's presented himself very well. And I agree with everything he said, which is an absolute rarity in this life. Feedback.
Francis Racing,
Rosso Corsa,
Captain Slow F1,
The Lynch Mob 3,
Kinetic Racing,
Brutal Deluxe,
Radia F1,
Mealy Bar Racers,
Tracken Racing,
Valerie GP,
Tallulah Racing,
Pooh-Hom Pounders,
Puffle Piffle Puffle Puffin F1,
Little Cute Pink Racing Panda,
Wah Wah Wee Wah,
Mrs. the Marshall,
Where's My Money,
Little Miss Marshall,
Wild and Crazy,
William F1,
Somerset Strugglers,
The Centipods,
Team Smakaka,
Zephyr F1,
Big Star Racing,
Silent Clapping,
Kate's Dirty Sister,
Type 1 Racing,
Untitled F1 Team,
Right Rear Real Wheel Warmers,
Truly Amazing,
BMW Cypher F1 Team.
Forza Gilles.
No F1 includes static.
Just a random team.
Team Mayhem.
DP Racing.
Camp Champion.
Andrea Roda.
Alpha's Reapers.
Theory GP.
Doofus Dan.
JP Racing.
Peel Out Racing.
Moto Racing.
Boardman F1.
Helto 1.
Drawn Grand Prix.
Lampy Mampy.
Smash Potato.
My Other Team.
Anderson GP 2010.
Team BMW powered by Ferrari.
DH Racing 09.
DH Racing.
Ideal VZLA.
Tohoe Grand Prix.
360 Degrees.
HK Racing.
Hellas F1.
My UAV is Online Races.
Don't Eat Pastry.
Penguin F1.
Button It.
Jump the Start.
Doof, 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 doof.
Mile High Hoosier.
Xmas GP1.
Adelaide Pandas F1.
HSL GP Cosworth.
Need More Dough Racing.
Lamarck.
Gisaldo Racing.
Zinfara Racing.
The POW Lions. First up, a shout out to Jonathan, who sent me an email saying, "Dear Christine, in the February the 8th podcast, you asked for a picture from Canada of one of the marmots that live on the circuit. Actually, you asked for a picture of a groundhog, but Montrealers are adamant that Circuit Gilles Villeneuve is populated with marmots and not groundhogs, gophers or beavers. Here's one, apparently a massive fan from 2008. We're over the moon that the race is back in Montreal and we'll be back at the hairpin cheering at our favourite marmots' car avoidance skills. Just discovered your podcast a couple of weeks ago and I'm really enjoying it. Cheers, Jonathan." He sent me a picture, which I will link to in the show notes.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you very much, Jonathan. And us too. We are looking forward to Canada, I think, more than any other race this year.
Next, an email from Stephen in Houston, Texas. He said, "Christine, I found your show last season when my cable company decided to move Speed TV, where Formula One is broadcast, into a higher package. It was the only channel in the new package that I wanted, and I couldn't justify $40 per month to see it. I've really enjoyed your show and loved the Felipe Baby song. Uh-oh. I even had my wife singing it.
Uh-oh.
On a personal note, do you or Mr. C listen to any podcasts? And if so, what? I heard last week on the show that you guys are Lost fans. You will love tonight's show. I am a big Lost fan and listen to the Jay and Jack Lost show and to the Transmission with Ryan and Jen. They are complete opposite style shows, but balance each other out. Well, I better get back to work. Stephen."
There is
are we turning this into a Lost show?
There's a lot of mentions going on there. That's a question and a half for you.
Yes.
Do you listen to any other podcasts?
What am I going to do? List them all now? We'll be here till midnight.
You could say, here are the podcasts I don't listen to.
Yeah.
That wouldn't take anywhere near as long. What I will say is I'm going to put a quick plug in here for your other podcast, the non-F1 podcast you do called Media Future Change. On that site, mediafuturechange.com, there's a great post today on there about how you consume podcasts versus how I consume podcasts. And there's no point repeating it here on the show. You can just go to mediafuturechange.com, have a look at that post. Don't tell me there's going to be a link in the show notes.
Yeah.
Should you be interested. And it details how Christine's workflow is completely the opposite of my workflow. I have no podcasts in my to listen to podcast directory, whereas Christine has about 800 at the moment. We couldn't be more opposite on that front. And I'm guessing in amongst those 800, one of those is a Lost podcast.
I have listened to the Jay and Jack show and I did like it, but I stopped listening after a while because of the time difference and we weren't necessarily keeping exactly up with Lost and I didn't want any spoilers by accident.
Gotcha.
Hello, Side Podcast. Toastboy here. Just wondering whether anybody else thinks it was a good idea for me to go to a well-known international betting site and seeing that you could get 20-1 on Jenson Button to defend his title. I've backed him on that. I think, you know, given that he might look after his tyres better than Lewis, you never know, at some point McLaren might have to flip and call him number one driver and back in for the championship. Then it all depends on whether the McLaren's any good. Anyway, point for discussion, I guess. Cheers.
Good grief. That is a point for discussion.
Well,
you go first.
Well, I think, I don't know whether Button is going to defend his championship or not, obviously.
Would you put money on it?
I don't think I would because there are so many potential amazing drivers this year.
Yes.
You know, you've got all of Red Bull, all of Mercedes, all of McLaren, all of Ferrari.
Half of Mercedes.
Yeah. They're all could be in with a shot. I mean, I don't think last year it wasn't like that, was it? It was like, well, maybe Red Bull will be good. I don't know.
We knew at this point last year that the Browns would be a rocket ship.
Yeah.
And we knew
McLaren weren't.
Yes. And there wasn't that many question marks. I mean, the only real question marks could the big teams make a comeback, really? Not could they win the world championship. This year, Jenson Button, he has the right car.
It's so open.
Yes. But he's against Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah. I wouldn't have put money on it, but I am very impressed that Toast Boy did.
You know, the thing is, if I come forward and say that's a really silly idea and he makes a bucket load of cash at the end of the year, I'm not going to be looking too smart because I'll have no money.
No, that's true.
And I'll be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, so if I back him and he's already put his money on, he's not listening to me, so I haven't lost his money. So I'm going to go with Toast Boy and say that's a good idea. And I think Jenson Button will do well this year and might just be able to defend his crown. I'll tell you what, he's made a better decision going to McLaren than if he'd stayed with Mercedes. And I didn't expect to be saying that at Christmas.
Whilst we're talking about predictions, I had a note from Ian who says, "Hi, Christine, loving the podcast. I've booked the 12th off work so I can watch the practice live, which is by far the most OTT thing I've done for several years, although camping on the Francorchamps FC ground for the Belgian GP probably runs it close. Last time we did that, we used one of the goals to support the tarpaulin, keeping an area dry, which kind of stuffed up their training. It must be prediction time, although lacking in crystal balls, I'm not expecting much success. Here we go. Crofty and Ant will continue to make practice great fun."
Except in Bahrain, because Ant's out driving and testing and practicing.
Good point. "Ledyard will continue to interrupt Martin and waffle on about nothing while Martin could have answered whatever it was that set him off."
They've got to get better this year. Surely to goodness they must have improved over winter. Even we've improved over the winter.
"Williams will be in the top four teams."
Yes. The top four teams.
Could happen.
Teams, let me see. Teams, that requires both drivers and you haven't got Nick. Yeah, go on then. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
"Button will be closer to Lewis than we expected, but still behind him."
Just
said the opposite in the previous item.
I did.
Item.
I can't contradict myself there.
"If the mechanical bits work, the Campos will be the best new team chassis. Stefan don't count as it's just Toyota with a new name." And they're not in it.
They haven't got an entry. So do I agree with that? Sorry. "The mechanical bits work."
HRT being
No, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be any better. I mean, Virgin, they look fast, but fragile, and Lotus looks solid, but slow. I don't think Campos / HRT. Can I just call them Campos? Can we just agree to call them Campos for the rest of the year?
I think so, even though Campos has nothing to do with it anymore.
I do not think for 1 second they will be the best chassis. I know Dallara make good cars, but they stopped development, or allegedly stopped development on it when money ran out, and they've had to rush the remainder of the car into production to get it ready for Bahrain. So I'm going to disagree on that one.
"Bernie will arrange for Martin to meet Mr. Stefan on a grid walk and ensure Mr. Stefan doesn't say a word in English." I wouldn't put it past Bernie.
Mr. Stefan has a great command of the English language, as proved by the team's press releases.
Oh, yeah. "Ledyard will wrongly call at least one car move or crash in each race, and not just the confusing ones like Mercedes or McLaren or Red Bull and Toro Rosso, e.g. there's a Ferrari off at the back, or more likely a Virgin."
If he doesn't improve, I'm going to personally shoot him.
"And we'll get more than 30 minutes of GP weekend running completed before someone moans about the tyres."
No chance.
And that was from Ian.
Brilliant. What a great set of questions, Ian. We need more questions like that. I like that.
Yeah. It's a good question answer kind of thing. Next up, a message from Lisa, who has a complaint about podcasts. "Hi, Christine. I know Mr. C mentioned that there were some problems with playing the podcasts he released in browsers, but I thought it might help him to know that both the Live Aside podcasts could not be downloaded in Zencast. Both showed up in the feed and appeared to download, but ended up being 0 bytes. I've downloaded the final season preview today, and that has worked fine. Downloading the MP3 files from the site worked okay too. I just thought it might help to know that it wasn't only a browser issue. Please tell him that he did a really good job of editing them though. Thanks, Lisa." So that means that the way I do it works and the way you do it doesn't.
It's a workflow issue.
Yeah.
I've learned that this week. I don't know how it's never come up before, but it just seems to have raised its head this week and I haven't changed anything. And going back, looking at some older podcasts that I've done, none of those work.
So the problem seemed to be that the new Aside shows weren't downloading in Chrome and apparently in Zencast as well.
We've changed how, I'll tell you how part of it's come to light, although the Zencast thing hasn't changed. In browser, you can now view, you can now listen or watch audio and video using native HTML5, new fancy pants, non-Flash stuff. So if you don't like Flash Player, or if, say, you have an iPod that doesn't play Flash stuff, you can still listen to our audio podcast and you can still watch the videos, except if you listen to a podcast that I edited and I uploaded in Chrome, because that's flaky and I've got to copy what you do because you're clearly brilliant.
Which is really weird because I learnt from you.
Yes, Exactly. Sorry, and we'll fix them. We've got to go back and fix all the old ones, and thank you for bringing it to light, and it's all my fault, and yes. Christine Dace.
On a related note, a simple message from John, who contacted us via the form on the About page. It says, do you have a Zune podcast?
Yes.
Do we?
Yeah, it's in the Zune marketplace.
Does it have to be a special podcast to go on a Zune?
No, you had to put it in the directory, and I jumped through hoops and loops and all sorts of stuff to get it in the blinking Zune marketplace. The problem we have is we live in Europe, and Zune isn't available in Europe, which has been a huge bugbear for me because I really wouldn't mind having a look at one of them. Sadly, they don't release them over here. So in order to get our podcast into the Zune podcast marketplace, I had to pretend that I was in the US using some proxy server that Microsoft hadn't banned, and finally eventually got it registered in the end. So you can get SidePodcast TV videos and SidePodcast audio in the Zune marketplace, and you should be able to find them if you search for F1 or SidePodcast.
Another quick note via the contact form. This is a more positive one. Hi, both. This is my first time joining you on your podcast. My partner is out hard at work, and I have spent the last 4 hours playing back your last 5 shows. Ooh. What can I say? I love the show. Well done. I look forward to the next show. Kind regards from a fellow F1 nut, Pete Edwards.
Pete.
I like that the partner is out at work, and he's just listening to my podcast.
Banned from enjoying F1, one would assume.
Yeah. A message from Andy now. Hello there, Christine and Mr. C. I'm just writing to congratulate you guys on the success of the show. I've recently stumbled upon it while searching the web for more Formula One news. Just one of the disadvantages of living in the US, where a glorified demolition derby, NASCAR, rules. I grew up in Spain and I fell in love with the sport I've been following for years. I'm disgusted with the lack of TV coverage in the US of Formula One news, which brings me to my main point. I love the show so far. It's extremely informative and very entertaining due to the wonderful British humour. Wish nothing but success and would love to get involved in something similar. This season will be the best in years, and I'm glad I found the show to follow along throughout the season. Cheers, Andy.
I spy a volunteer.
Yeah.
I'm reading that, I'm hearing that, I'm thinking, yeah, Andy, voicemail. 012-128-87225. Andy, that's the Skype number. Get involved inside podcast.
And finally, an email from Simon, who says, hi, Christine. I am currently backpacking around the world with my beautiful wife, which leaves me a little out in the cold as far as Formula One is concerned, until I stumbled across SidePodcast, that is. I'm so grateful to you and the service you provide, as it has enabled me to keep up to date on both news and opinion during the closed season that I might otherwise have missed. With less than a week to go, it's just hit home rather forcefully just how little of the coverage of any kind I will actually get to see during the course of what promises to be the most exciting season of Formula One in the 18-ish years that I've been watching. I find this so distressing that I'm actually tempted to come back to the UK, get a job, and return to the daily grind just so that I can watch the season. I have some consolation in that, due to our travelling timetable, I'm going to be in the right part of the world to go to both the Malaysian and Chinese Grand Prix, something I'm very excited about. There's also an outside chance that I might make Singapore in September too, but we'll see. Obviously, I'll give you a full report on the races I make it to. So with the first race rapidly approaching, I'm relying on the F1 timing app on my iPod and a side podcast to get me through what is shaping up to be a very difficult time in my life. Is that a bit too melodramatic? So thanks again for side podcast. I wasn't a listener last season, so I'm looking forward to your race weekend coverage. I know you guys stress that side podcast shouldn't be anyone's only F1 source, but as I'm currently in South Korea, I take what I can get, and I'm very grateful to have found you. Thanks again and have a great season. Simon, how Blimey. Awesome is that? Traveling around the world, but keeping in touch via us.
Yes, and also contemplating coming home again just for F1. It's going to be a great season. Is it going to be that good a season?
I wouldn't return to the daily grind just for that. Schumacher's in it, don't you know?
Yeah, absolutely. unless you enjoy watching his downfall, perhaps it might be worth coming back. He says with his fingers crossed. Still, you know, I've had them crossed all off season. But again, thank you. And we do. Who was that from?
That's from Simon.
Simon, and we expect updates.
Yes, lots of reports and pictures and all kinds of good stuff.
Grand job! And if you are backpacking around the world and SidePodcast is your only source of information, do give us a yell, because we will give you a shout out for that. As crazy as you are.
It should be noted that Simon also included some talk about fantasy races in there. He's signed up and he's got a team, and he was telling me about which drivers he's chosen, but I have kept that back because the fantasy racer reminder posts start this week and I want to put that in there.
Good stuff. So like a fantasy racers reminder guest post?
Kind of. I think it might be good to get people's opinions of what they're doing and why and who they've chosen and why, because my team is going to stay the same all the way through the year, so I'm rapidly going to run out of things to say.
So you want suggestions or you want information about who
people can write to me, tell me who they've chosen, why they've chosen them, and I'll feature in the post.
Gotcha. Is it wrong that I'm now thinking Simon, I'm targeting Simon as a good challenger for this year, because he's not going to be around to change his team. He's not. He's only following F1 Vice Live podcast.
Right.
Therefore, I must be able to beat him.
You might be able to. I doubt it.
Housekeeping.
Hi, Toad Podcast. This is Bassano. I've just got back from the Joe evening talk. How flipping awesome was that? It was Joe. It was a meetup. It was drinks. Oh, perfect. If anyone has any doubt about whether they want to go to one, just do it. Just do it. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I couldn't explain why. Just go. Just go. Oh, it was awesome. I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, I heart Bassano.
There you go.
You might have had a little bit to drink before you rang that one in.
It was Joe. It was a meetup. It was drinks.
Excellent. What would you give the evening out of 10?
I would give it 10 out of 10.
I think everybody who attended that we spoke to would feel exactly the same. And if you're in Melbourne, there is one the end of March. Is it the 29th of March? I think there are still tickets available. If you're in Melbourne, if you're going to the Grand Prix or you're in that area, then for goodness sake, just get tickets from Joe. It's worth every single penny and more. And we had such a brilliant evening. I'm with Bassano. I'd love to do it again. The next time there's a Joe meetup, we're
going to
be there.
You mean you're not going all the way to Melbourne?
I can't justify it quite that much.
Whilst we're talking about Joe, we put up a competition to win a signed copy of his book. But because we didn't do a show, we actually haven't managed to promote it.
Have we not spoken about it?
On the podcast.
It's been up for 2 weeks.
I know. And it's closing on Tuesday.
Just about the time this show goes out.
Yeah.
Oh dear. We've had loads and loads and loads of entries to win. It's a signed copy of Joe's book, The Grand Prix Saboteurs. The question's really simple.
Yep.
It's free to enter, one entry per person. And if you haven't already signed up, if you'd like a signed copy of the book, I highly recommend the book. It's a brilliant book. And there's no reason not to enter. Don't tell me.
There'll be a link in the show notes.
Perfect.
Talking of show notes as well.
No.
This is all linking together. Lovely.
It's almost like I read ahead and knew what you were going to say next.
I know. We always say there'll be a link in the show notes. And we actually had a question in the comments this week. What are the show notes?
Where are they?
Where do I find them?
You keep talking about them.
Yeah.
They don't exist.
So every time we release a podcast, there is an accompanying blog post that appears.
On sidepodcast.com.
Yeah. And that will have information about how long the show is, the file size, all the links to listen to the show, plus information about what is in it and the links that we talk about.
Yes. So if you subscribe via a podcatcher like iTunes and you never really get the chance to look at the website and we say you'll find a link for this in the show notes, then just wander along to sidepodcast.com, put it in your web browser, look for the latest podcast. If you're catching up recently, if you're up to date and you're not sort of trawling the archives from months ago, it'll be somewhere on the homepage. Have a look for it, click on it, and then follow any of the links as we talk about them. If you're following on your computer, then you can just click as we talk about them, just step by step. Every time we mention a link, click on it and you can see what we're talking about.
Hey, you know, there's another link there because you just mentioned the homepage.
Oh, for goodness sake, is this scripted?
No.
Go on. What have you got about the homepage?
All of sidepodcast.com is now live.
Oh, yes.
As in you never have to press F5 ever again.
Oh, no. If you go to any blog post, be it the show notes or anything else we've written about on the site, you load up the web browser, you load up that page, and you just leave that page as it is. And anytime anybody leaves a new comment, it will let you know new comments are available and you can view them at a click of a button. Not only that, anytime you leave a comment, the page doesn't have to refresh. It just magically appears. It's lovely.
It's what we've been working for about 2 years.
It's how Side Podcast always should have been. We've had live comments in the past during races whereby you don't have to refresh the page. You just comment and yours and other comments will appear. Now every single page on the site is just like live commenting.
And you don't have to worry if your browser isn't capable of things like that because it will just fall back to non-live things.
It just works. We put so much effort into it and it's made such a difference to the conversation because now I can just open a thread. I can leave it going all day. It doesn't hurt to do that. And if any new comments come in, you will be immediately alerted and you can read them and you can reply and it enhances the conversation. It makes it very, very two-way, I think. You're no longer leaving a comment and then going off and coming back and checking to see if anyone else has responded because people will see the comment instantly and they'll be able to respond too.
Now, we've been doing Fantasy Races roll calls throughout the show, you may have heard them, and it's just the final chance for you to sign up before the season begins.
It's happening, people. You've got, what now, 3, 4, 5 more days, depending on when you listen to the show, before the season starts, to get your Fantasy Racers team in and updated. It's free. If you've already got a team, don't forget you have to pick your drivers before, is it 6 o'clock
Friday,
on Friday?
Yeah.
Friday, 5 or 6 o'clock GMT. You've got to get your team in, got to get your drivers in, and this is your last call.
While we're talking about fantasy Formula One games, you know, Stuart Taylor sometimes posts, guest posts on our site. They are, well, they're not really posts, they're pictures.
Oh, the cartoons. Stuart, yes. That's Stuart. Yes. Oh, genius. I love his work.
Excellent Formula One related cartoons. He has a fantasy sort of predictions game at Fantasy Formula One, which is one.net. And about it, he says, it's a very small and homely F1 game site predicting results on a race-by-race basis. And he's very happy because last year, James Allen took part.
Goodness me.
And some people from Red Bull.
Excellent. Okay.
So it's worth checking out.
Well, we will do that. We will do that. I'll do it. I haven't seen it, but I will look at it at the end of the show. And if you're in the mood for even more Fantasy F1, then fantasyformula1.net is the other place to go. The off-season is drawing to a close.
Yes. I remember that when we finished up the F1 debrief after Abu Dhabi, we said the off season starts now.
Mm.
It kind of went.
It came, it went. Did we get much done? Did we make the most of our time?
We got loads done. I'm not sure we got everything we wanted to, but then we always have high expectations.
I think the season is starting 2 weeks earlier this year. So it's crept up upon us. And it's here. It's now. The next time we'll be speaking on this podcast, we will have watched the race. Somebody somewhere will have scored 25 points for a win.
It's going to be brilliant.
DRW Racing.
Yankee Doodle Pigeon.
Black Flag Racing.
Lucky Dog Racing.
Catley F1.
Wally GP Oz.
Overtake Now.
Ferenz US.
Talonasty Racing.
Better Dead Than Red.
Royal Britannia.
Luca Badoa's Avengeance.
Andractuosity.
Force Germany.
F1 Tailpipe Grand Prix.
Tories Toffs.
Green Hell Team.
Infinity Alonso.
Round Tire Racing.
Potato Head Racers.
Slick Chew GP.
Donald Kiddick.
Force Canada.
R Rod Racing.
X-Ray Racing.
HBAMI NDC.
Supercore Wagon Racers.
Black Lipper Grand Prix.
Ferret Racing.
Woolly Man Moths.
Bring Sato Back.
Dubai Desert GP.
Wednesday GP.
Must Beat Side Podcast 3.0.
Angus Dog 7.
Lone Wolf 60.
USAGP.
A Huge Driver Club.
Year 2, Must Do Better.
Aussie Thunderbox.
Blue Racing.
Curious Race of Lewis Button.
USF1 RVA.
George of MC.
Old Slow Dads.
Bouncing Badger.
Formula 1 NYC.
Team Unbara.
Scuderia Cayman.
Shatner's Bassoon.
Stokes GP.
USF1 Mirage.
Screaming Demons.
The Real USF1.
Black Beauty.
Comic Sans.
Highlanders.
80s Arrows.
Flying Elvis Racing.
The Pirates of the 130. Ah!
Shoomy Who?
Be Contrary.
Dapper Duds.
Black Ghost Racing.
Iona Kings.
Geronimo.
Rattle Ike Racing.
Tour de Face.
Motown Racing.
Duff Stars.
Promo Racing.
Moo GP.
Gene Button.
Burson Mimpy.
Satoshi Toyota.
Volatile Racing.
Blonde Pigeons.
Polar Rollers.
Easy Music for Difficult Ears.
Bumper Stampers Words Fail Me Podcast Racing.
Dazcar 67.
Hokey Cokey Racing.
ADR Racing.
Piglet Racing.
Wicked Good.
F1 Girls Team. Whoa!